Well, good morning, everyone. It's so great to have you in church with us here on Sunday. I'm thrilled to be here preaching the word this morning again. What an amazing week we've just come through. We just came through Christmas celebrations and the Christmas holidays, of course, and I hope it was just amazing for you and your family. I hope you had some time to hang out with your family. And I know we just kind of stayed at home just with me and my family and didn't travel this year and just had a beautiful time. So I want to remind you of a couple things, and then we're going to get into the Word today, and I believe it's really going to be a blessing to your life. First of all, I have a new sermon series coming up next week called Mood. And the idea behind it is you can choose your mood. You don't have to be a victim of your mood, okay? And so we're going to talk about this going into the new year, and you've been given some little cards, and the purpose of that card is to actually take it and hand it to someone and invite someone else to church. The best way to do that is just to invite someone and say, hey, man, I'll sit with you. And then if you need a ride, I'll pick you up. Or if you're really adventurous, say, hey, I'll even take you to lunch afterwards. Anyhow, be a friend to someone, because most people come to know Jesus through friendships and relationships. It's over and above the best way to win people to Christ, just becoming a friend to someone. Okay? So we're starting a new sermon series, starting inviting people out. Also, I want to just open up by saying I'm thankful. I am super thankful for the year 2019. I started thinking back of all we've accomplished as a corporate body, as Fountain of Life this year, and it's really been amazing. It's been amazing. I mean, the number one thing, the number one success I always look for is anyone coming to the Lord? Has anyone accepted Christ this year? And we can say scores and scores of people have accepted Christ, and I'm humbled every Sunday when I ask for a commitment for people who want to serve Jesus, that always someone raises their hand. Someone says, yes, I'm in, and I want to follow Christ. It's really amazing. And our special events this year have just been great, all the way from the beginning of the year, through Easter, through Family Day, through our revivals we had this year, into the Christmas celebration. I'm super excited about the Edenton campus, who had over 230 people come out in those two Christmas celebrations. What a great job the team down there did. Amen? So we just love you guys, and we're thankful for everything the Lord's doing. Thankful for a new ministry that is beginning in Edenton, and thankful for other things beginning in Fountain of Life. All of our mission outreach. If you've not heard about what we do in missions, we do a great number of things in world missions. And this year we were able to give a lot of money to missionaries, a lot of money to a global outreach offering, which is a once a year offering. On and on and on. Just incredible thing. You know, this year online. Now this is a hard number to grasp, but there seems to have been over 20,000 views of our services this year just online through Facebook or through YouTube or through our live stream platform. Over 20,000 views of our services. Man, that's incredible. So can somebody just say thank God for what He's done this year? You know, a new year is a perfect time to make a resolution or resolutions for your life. Now, some people are against New Year's resolutions, but I'm not. I'm actually for them. Because the argument often goes like this: well, let's not make any New Year's resolutions, because if we do, we'll just end up breaking them, and it's just like an exercise in futility. But I don't buy into that negativity. I think we should make resolutions, because often we keep them, and they change the course of our lives. I remember my grandparents, all of my grandparents are now passed away, but my mom's parents, I remember them telling a story years ago that they had grown up going to church, and they had raised their kids in church, but then for some reason, they fell away from church for about 20 years in all. And my grandfather says at times he would feel convicted about not going to church, and he knew it was the right thing to do, but he just got in this routine and just got out of it. And then one New Year's Day, he looked at my grandmother and he said, today we're going to church. And this year we're making a difference. And you know what they did? They went to church the next Sunday, and they went to the altar, gave their hearts to Jesus, and they lived amazing Christian lives until they went home to be with the Lord. Led us into the church. So man, Is a New Year's resolution possible? Absolutely. Is it important? Absolutely. So I'm going to talk about this morning a new year with new possibilities. A new year with new possibilities. You're in this building this morning for a purpose. You're here because God has designed you to be here, and it's a golden opportunity for you to take hold of tomorrow and open up the realm of possibilities that God has for you in this upcoming year. In the book of Joshua, chapter 1, we find this amazing setting. And it is that Moses, the great man of God, has been leading the people of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness on a short journey from the country of Egypt to the promised land that God had promised to give the Israelites. It was a journey that I think could have taken just a matter of weeks. They could have done it in a few weeks. But because of various things, number one, God wanted to teach them how to worship and give them the law. That took a while. And then they started disobeying God. Over and over again, they disobeyed Him in the wilderness. And because of that, they just kept circling around and circling around until 40 years had passed and all of the generation that had come out of Egypt with Moses died, including Moses himself. Only two men were allowed to go into the promised land who were part of the crowd that left Egypt, and it was because these two men had great faith. One was Joshua and one was Caleb. Joshua was pretty much the chief military commander for Moses, and so when Moses died, the leadership mantle of the nation of Israel was given to Joshua. And now we pick up the story in Joshua chapter 1 where God is speaking to him. Now, can you imagine Joshua after taking the leadership reins of Moses, such an amazing man of God? I mean, Moses is the OG man of God. He's the one who heard the Lord up on the mountain. He's the one who followed God through the desert. He's the one who confronted Pharaoh. He's the one that called down, prayed, and God sent manna from heaven and fire by night and a cloud during the day to guide them. And he got the pattern of the tabernacle, and he got the pattern of the priesthood, and he got the pattern of the anointing system and the sacrifice. I mean, he's the man, okay? He was the man. And now he's passed away, and now the leadership reins have fallen to Joshua. And oh my word, what's Joshua going to do? I mean, what's he going to do with this? So we pick up the story, Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of God, or the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand nor to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Hallelujah. What a powerful, come on, somebody needs to take out your pen or pencil and start highlighting some stuff right here, okay? This is a powerful part of Scripture that you can apply to your own life. Now, I want to pick up three different things out of here, okay? First of all, in verse 6, he says, "Be strong and of good courage." In verse 7, he says, "Only be strong and very courageous." And in verse 9, he says it again, be strong and of good courage. Now, each of these three commandments to be strong and of good courage are each linked with a promise, I believe, that is going to enable Joshua to lead the people into the promised land. And for you and I today, I'm going to look at these three commands linked to promises that'll help you and I enter into a new year of possibilities and new resolutions and new faith goals and new prayers that we're believing for God to accomplish in our lives. Can you say amen? First of all, just to preface these three statements with this concept, the first thing God tells Moses when he comes, or God tells Joshua when he comes to him is this: Moses, my servant, is dead. First thing he tells him, Moses, my servant, is dead. Okay, we know that, Lord, but why are you reiterating that? I think it's a powerful word here. You can't take tomorrow if you're still holding on to yesterday. You can't take hold of tomorrow if you're still holding on to yesterday. I think what God is telling Joshua here is, hey man, okay, the past is gone now. The great leadership of Moses, yeah, that's gone. The man of God you look to, yeah, he's gone. The one you trekked up to the base of the mountain with when he went up to meet with God, yeah, he's gone. The one you would walk outside of the camp to the tabernacle to and wait for him as he went and met with God, yeah, he's gone, and now you have to do it. Okay, you have to get rid of whatever's holding you to yesterday to go into tomorrow. First of all, people hold on to failures and disappointments and problems that they had yesterday, and they can never release them to go into their tomorrow. And they allow those problems to weigh them down, to pull them back, and they're always thinking about that wrong that was done to them. And they can never get to tomorrow because they're focused on a wrong in the past. You got to let that go in 2020. All right? We're going to wave goodbye to it in 2020. Some people can't let go of a bad relationship. And I'm not talking about marriage here. I'm talking you just in some bad relationships. Maybe you're dating somebody that you just know isn't the right one, but you're hoping they will magically transform into the right one. And it might be the year to say, so long, see you later. Because you can't go into the future holding on to the past. In the same way, some people hold on to successes of the past. And their successes prevent them from moving into the future. I mean, it happens in church all the time. We think about, oh man, do you remember back in 1987 how God was moving? And what we did back in 87? Do you remember the youth retreat we had in 93? How it was great? Or you remember back in 2009? How amazing that revival was we had? Or you remember that potluck dinner we had in 2005? Yeah, okay, all those are great, and we can celebrate all those, but we're moving into a new year that's going to require new strategy. It's going to require new vision. It's going to require a fresh mind. It's going to require a clean slate. We bring our experiences and our understanding, but we leave the attachments to them in the past. Hallelujah. You can only take the future and new possibilities if you let go in the past. My youngest daughter, I use this illustration because I remember it so vividly. We lived in an area for a while that had a cul-de-sac. Okay, we lived on a cul-de-sac. And our girls would go out and they would ride their bicycles or ride their scooters in the cul-de-sac. And my youngest daughter, she was just so excited that she was riding a bike finally, that she would just laugh and she would just ride this bike. And she would be like, look, I can ride now. And she would be riding and looking backwards the whole time. And we were all like, look ahead. You can't ride a bike looking backwards. You have to look ahead or you're going to crash and burn. Anyhow, somebody say amen. You know, there's a saying that's been floating around for a long time. And I did some research to try to find where this came from. The saying is this: the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, but expecting a different result. Someone said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, but expecting a different result. Well, some people have said it came from Albert Einstein. So I looked this down and up, and we can't find where it came from Albert Einstein. But there is evidence that it came from an Al-Anon meeting years ago from Knoxville, Tennessee. Now, Al-Anon, of course, is a ministry that helps people get out of alcohol addiction and different addictions. And it was said that in one of these Al-Anon meetings that they were talking about the first two rules of Al-Anon. The first one is, we admit that we're powerless over alcohol and that our lives have become unmanageable. Second step is, we have come to believe in a power greater than ourselves, and that power can restore us to sanity. And upon hearing that, one of the participants responded and said, I never reached the point of insanity with alcohol. And another participant spoke up and said, you know, insanity is actually doing the same thing over and over, but expecting different results. I thought, wow, that is so powerful. Here you're in a group of alcoholics trying to get freedom and find freedom. And here someone says, well, I never went to the point of insanity. And another person says, yeah, but if you keep doing the same thing over and over and over, but you expect different results, yeah, that's pretty much insanity. So maybe you're going into 2020 thinking, man, I want to conquer this, and I want to do this, and I want to do great things for God. But what are you going to do about your life? Well, nothing different. No. That would be insanity. To accomplish different things, you have to put different fuel in the engine. You have to put a different effort into the task. Somebody say amen, hallelujah. Maybe for you it's this year, you're going to get a new job, or you're going to learn a new skill, or you're going to make a new friend, or you're going to open up a new business. And some of you may be saying, yeah, but Pastor Hans, I'm retired. I just want to sit back and Well, maybe you're retired. Well, learn a new language. Spend more time with your grandkids. Learn to, like, score scratch on golf. I mean, I don't know. I think we should always be pushing ourselves to new possibilities. We are created with this creative capacity and this capacity to visionize and to take new territory. It's built in us. When God created Adam and Eve in the garden, He said, now go and multiply. People all hoarded up together. God came down and split them up. Genesis chapter 11. They're at the Tower of Babel. They all wanted to be together. God said, no, go and multiply. Go and take new territory. Can somebody say amen in here this morning? So here are three commands I'm going to give you from this passage that's going to help us take hold of tomorrow. Okay, the first is, verse 6, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Okay? This is talking about taking hold of God's promises. Okay? He's telling Joshua, I swore this promise to your forefathers, and now you're the one who's going to take hold of that promise from ages ago, and you're going to make it a reality. Oh. You're going to take the promises of old and make it a reality. Listen, when God speaks something and God swears something, it doesn't just fall to the ground. It becomes a thing. It forever exists. It is out there. The prophet Isaiah said, when God speaks His word does not come back to Him void, but it accomplishes that thing that He sends it to accomplish. Notice the book of Hebrews chapter 6. The writer says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, He swore by Himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Oh man. So God spoke and he swore by himself because there's no greater authority. And then after that, Abraham obtained the promise because he believed in this. It says, for men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath of confirmation is for them the end of all dispute. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope that is set before us. All that to say this, once God says something and once God promises something, it's done. It's done. It's greater than an act of Congress. It's greater than a decree of a king or prince. It's greater than any law a state could pass. It's greater than any agreement between two men or two women. It is something settled in heaven. It's transcendent. When God speaks out, the word in Hebrew for word is davar. It also means a thing. So when God speaks a word, it becomes a thing. It has creative force. So if God has spoken something, then we can lay hold of what He's promised and pray it into our lives. So in 2020, I want you to get a hold of some promises. I mean, go to the Bible apps on your phone, whatever. Grab a hold of a few promises and start praying those into your life. I have some right now I'm praying and holding on to and believing God for, and 2020 is not even here yet. It's around the corner. I'm believing God to manifest in 2020. And I want you to grab this. You have to get a hold of the Word and pray in those promises to take tomorrow. Can somebody shout amen? The second command He gives him is in verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Don't turn from it to the right hand or to the left hand, that you may prosper wherever you go. The second thing is, not only do we take hold of His promises, we need to take hold of His wisdom. We need to take hold of His wisdom. The word prosper here in Hebrew actually has the interpretation of knowing how to do the right thing. Knowing how to act circumspectly. Knowing how to be prudent. Okay? So the word gives us this ability to be able to act wisely in this life. And that is one definition of prosperity. To know what to do in the right moment, to know how to go about doing it, to know how to deal with people, to know how to appropriate the promises of God, to know how to live this life. That is a promise that God is giving us. That is His wisdom. Recently, I was in Tennessee, and I was having lunch with the pastor and his family. And the daughter in this family, I guess, is in her late 20s, maybe early 30s. And we were talking, and she said, "Pastor, I read through the Bible every year. I read through it every year. I read it in different translations. I have a favorite translation, but this year I read it in something different. And I always read the Old Testament through once and the New Testament through twice. And then I read other commentaries with it. And then I read other devotional books with it. And I'm a singer, and I like to lead praise and worship. So I felt challenged to read the Word and store it up in my heart so that when I'm leading people, I know what I'm leading them to." And I'm sitting here listening to this young girl, and I was so excited and kind of convicted that she had such a passion to know God's Word and to make it a working piece and part of her life. Listen, there comes a point where you study the Word that it becomes like second nature to you. It becomes such a part of your thought processes. It becomes ingrained in the way you make decisions. Listen, I want that for every person in Fountain of Life Church. I want us to get to that place. And the only way it's going to happen is you to open up the Word and let it start speaking to you. Read the Word. Listen to it through audio Bibles. Get it by preaching. Get the Word in your heart. Go to small groups. Go to life groups and get in that flow. And over, let the Word get inside you, and you'll find it'll start changing the way you operate in life. You'll see some people who don't know the Lord, and they're approaching life in a certain way, and then you come up to the same kind of problem, and you pray about it, you seek counsel from the Word, and then you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, and you approach it in a different way. That's the difference that serving God and getting the Word in your heart makes. Okay, somebody shout amen. We're getting somewhere here this morning. Y'all hang on with me. Okay, the third thing is, verse 9, this commandment is given again. Okay, he says, "Be strong and of good courage, and do not be afraid nor dismayed, for I, the Lord your God, is with you wherever you go." For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So we claim His promise. And then we walk in His wisdom. And then the third thing is, we take hold of His power, which accomplishes the task. His promises, His wisdom, and His power. His promises, His wisdom, and His power. What Joshua is going to need is the power of God to lead him through the challenges that are in front of him. He's going to face the Jordan River, first of all. And they're going to need the power of God to help them cross over the Jordan River. Then he's going to come to the first city. It's called Jericho. And Jericho is a fortified stronghold and it's walled. He's going to need the power of God and God's strategy to get him through that city and to conquer that and go on to the rest of the promised land. Okay, the promised land is promised, but there's a whole lot of working and fighting and settling and ruling and taking in the midst. In the future, he's going to have to walk this road out. You know, sometimes I think we as believers are like these guys I would see in my hometown sometime who would finally own the vehicle they had longed for years. And it was like some sort of souped up fast machine, some sort of muscle car from the past that they had, you know, refurbished or whatever. And it's like they put the big pipes on it, maybe the big hood scoop, and they're riding through town and you can just hear it. I mean, it's coming through town. It's like, man, this thing is beast. This thing has so much power. And they ride it around town at 35 miles per hour. And then they come up to a spot of water and they stop. And slowly go through the trickle of water. And you're like, dude, you have all this power, but you're just using like 3% of the power. I feel like us Christians are like that sometimes. We have the power of God in us, but we never put it to the test. Do we ever pray for someone who's sick? Do we ever talk to someone who's depressed? Do we ever witness to someone in the store who needs Jesus? Come on, this year actually put God to the test. Not in a bad way, like tempt Him. No, we're not doing that. But actually put His promises into action. God, You said You're going to do it. Now, Lord, we're believing You. We're praying. I'm quoting the Word, and I'm standing on the Word this year, and I'm believing some great things are going to happen. I'm going to tell you right now, some of you need to pray that God saves every member of your family. 2020, come on, this is the year. Just pray God starts cracking that hard exterior shell of their lives. And God starts saving them one by one. I saw it happen in my family. I had one aunt, she came to the Lord. And after her, I came to the Lord. After that, my mother came to the Lord. After that, my other aunt came to the Lord. After that, cousins and other uncles started coming to the Lord. And it was all, I believe, because of the prayers of my grandfather and grandmother. They kept knocking on heaven's doors. God, save our family. Save our family until the prayers started coming through and the promises started to be enacted. Hallelujah. This is your year. Believe that. Don't live cautiously like the guys riding the muscle cars at 35 miles an hour. Start living risky in your faith. Let 2020 be a year of risk in your faith. Anyhow, well, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, I want to give you some stuff. I want you now to look at Joshua chapter 3, and I'm going to end this thing over in Joshua chapter 3, but give me just a few moments to lay it out. So after this great promise and this great command that Joshua has given in chapter 1, we go on to chapter 3, and God has told him, now listen, I want you to take the priests of the children of Israel. I want them to carry the Ark of the Covenant. If you don't know what that is, just think, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark. They're carrying the Ark of the Covenant, and I want them to carry it into the River Jordan. And then I want them to get in the middle of the river and stand. Okay? This is God's battle plan. This is the way they're going forward. It's the way they're going into their tomorrows. And here's what happens, Joshua chapter 3, verse 14. So it was, when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan, with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, And as those who bore the ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away in Adam, the city that is by Zaratan. So the waters that went down into the sea of the Arabah, the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground. You get the picture here? The priests came down, stepped their feet in the water, and God cut it off way upstream. They proceeded out until all the water was gone and all of Israel crossed over on dry land. There's some little nuggets I want to leave you with here in taking your tomorrows that are so profound. He says that when they went into the waters, they were overflowing their banks because it's what they do this time of year. Now listen, that tells me that there's never a convenient time to step out and do what God's called you to do. Oh, it's overflowing all season. Yeah, what we're going to... No, let's just wait till it's perfect, man. No, that perfect day is never going to come. In 2020, if you're waiting for the perfect year for me to make a change, that's gone, man. It's not going to happen. You have to take the initiative and step out in the stormy waters and then watch God move and watch God perform His promises. The second thing I see here is that if you think you're going to cross over on dry land, if you think you're going to cross the waters and never get wet, you're fooled. Every time you step into water, you're getting wet. Every time you step out on faith, it's going to require risk. Every time you step out on faith, it's going to require a risk. When God calls you to do something, He often calls us into some risky endeavors in faith. We have to step out. We must be willing to get our feet wet. We must be willing to say, Lord, I'm here, and if you don't show up, well, I'm sunk. And then the final thing happens is that the miracle of the waters drying up happened. But notice, the way I'm reading this is it didn't happen right before them like that. They stepped their feet in the waters, and when they did that, the Bible says the waters were cut off way upstream in a town called Adam. Now, according to scholars, this could have been as far as 16 miles away. But what God was doing is that He was preparing a 16 to 18 mile long dry place for all of the hundreds and hundreds of thousands, possibly millions at this time, of Israelites to cross over. So when we step out on faith and we step out into risky endeavors for God, often we don't see that immediate miracle appearing. Or when we pray the promises, we often don't see the immediate manifestation of it. But that isn't what faith is about. Faith is about taking hold of the horns of the altar. It's about taking hold of the promises of God and praying, believing that in the spirit realm, the work has been done. Believing that you've contacted heaven in the spirit and we're just waiting on the physical manifestation of it to happen in our time and in God's perfect timing. Can somebody lift your hands and just give Him thanks for a few moments for His miracle-working power? Hallelujah. Some of you have been praying for your kids. I knew a guy in my home church years ago. He was a rug salesman. And he came into our church and he gave his heart to the Lord. And he became a preacher. And he became really a powerful witness. He would go to the hospitals and witness to the sick folk, and he would go to the funeral homes, and he would go out in the community. He became a powerful witness. But I never knew his mother, but his mother was a saintly woman, and she had prayed for years for him. She actually died and went home to be with the Lord, and after her death, this man came to Christ. and did amazing things for God, because I believe it was a direct answer to his mother's prayer for years and years. You see, when we pray, there's this picture in the scripture that our prayers become memorials before God. They become memorials in heaven, and God always sees them. And it's not like, oh, that prayer was prayed 5 years ago, I'm not going to answer that one now. Or no, I've forgotten about that. No. God knows all the prayers. He holds them in his hand and he responds to people in faith. So if you're not seeing the immediate result, hold on, because through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. Through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. Somebody says, what are you still believing for? God hasn't moved. No, brother, I'm believing till there's nothing left. I'm believing till I'm out of this world. I'm believing till Jesus comes in the rapture. I'm believing. Get that determination in you. It's what God is trying to inject in Joshua. You believe the word that I spoke. You believe in the power that I have. You believe in my wisdom over the world's wisdom. You take my battle plan and it's going to work. Can somebody lift your hands and just say hallelujah and give God a praise? Oh, hallelujah. Okay, here's what I want you to do. Before we pray today, I want you to think about five different things. I know I've said a lot this morning. It's like I'm feeding you with a fire hydrant, but just hold on. I have five things I want you to think about going into 2020 that you might want to do one of them. This comes from Craig Groeschel, a great leadership teacher. He recommended several of these through his leadership teaching, and I wanted to reiterate them here this morning to you. First of all, I want to ask you a question. Is there something new that you need to start in 2020? Is there something new? Based on the whole passage I read about Joshua and how he overcame by being strong and of a good courage, is there something new that you need to start? It's a new course, it's a new business, it's a new venture you need to go into, something you need to take the initiative on, and you need the discipline to begin. If so, write it down. Get some promises attached to it and start praying that thing in 2020. Number two, is there something that you need to stop this year? Is there a bad habit that you have that you just need to quit this year? This is the year to do it. It's now. Now is the time. Pray, link your faith to that, and get it out of your life. Is it a bad habit, or is it just something that you're doing that someone else could do? And you need to go focus more on your strengths in 2020. If that's the case, write it down, pray it through, and let 2020 be the year that you do it. Number three, is there someone in your life that you need to empower this year? Is there someone that you need to delegate some of the things that you're doing that's taking up your time? Is there some things you need to delegate to somebody? Is there someone that's a young protege in your life, a mentoree in your life that you need to raise up and just give them authority to go run? You never know. Maybe it's your son or daughter you want to pour into this year. Maybe it's somebody else that you just want to raise up. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's someone you want to have coffee with on a regular basis and just pour into them and empower them this year. Two other things. Is there a relationship that you need to start this year? And I'm not talking about romantic. It could be that, but that's not necessarily my focus here. Is there a relationship you need to start? It's like, I need a life coach here. I need a personal trainer. I need to go find someone who can teach me how to play guitar. I need to go find someone who can teach me French. I don't know. Is there a relationship that you need to initiate this year that's going to really help bring your goals into focus for 2020? And finally, is there a risk that you need to take this year? Is there a risk that you need to take? Because I'm telling you, when you can't cross over the Jordan until you step your feet in the water. You can't walk on water to Jesus until you get out of the boat. You just have to take a risk by faith and say, Lord, in 2020, this is my year, this is my time. I'm going to be of good courage, and I'm going to have no fear, and I'm going to go forward into the destiny that God has for me. I pray that 2020 is the greatest year you've ever known. I pray that 2020 is the greatest year Fountain of Life has ever known. Hey guys, thanks so much for watching or listening to our podcast. I'm so honored that you tuned in, and I pray the sermon was a great blessing to you. I don't know where you are right now in life, but I know one thing: God loves you and He has a plan for your life. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, how about praying this prayer with me, opening up your heart and inviting the Lord to come in? Come on, just a simple prayer. The Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you one of those whosoevers? If so, open up your heart right now and just pray with me. Just say, Father in heaven, I accept Jesus Christ into my life. Forgive me of all my sin and give me a new start today. In Jesus' name I pray, and you can say amen where you are. Please join us online for more information. We hope you come back and visit us, and we love you dearly, and go follow God and go into the destiny that He has for your life.